Exactly the opposite is true. So if God's telling you you can't have your sins forgiven, you ought to know that the exact opposite is true. You can have all of your sins forgiven. The shed blood of Jesus Christ guarantees that. The last thing on the cross Jesus said was, "It is finished." That means the price has been totally paid to take care of your sin debt. Jesus did it for you. Amen. All you have to do is reach out by faith and make application of it to your life. Amen. So take that song and let it be your anthem that God can do it for you. What he's done for me, he can do for you. Amen. Amen. Am I forgetting anything? Go ahead. Any women.
Any woman.
Yeah.
Any woman. That is the place that we would recommend for her to go. We will do whatever we need to do to help you to get your friend, your child, your relative, whoever it is, there if they want to be there. And so I can remember when Mike and I got her in the car and we were going to drive her down. I had to wait for her. She was at an eye doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't give much hope. Because I said, that girl is going to push the envelope. I just know it. I know it. I know it. It was like if I would have told her the sky was blue, she would have said, no, it is green. I'm sure of that. And I told her that. I said, I didn't know if you were going to make it past the first week. Because you're going to push that envelope. Well, we dropped her off. I'll tell you how she pushed the envelope. There's no smoking on the ground. So what did she do as we pull in behind the house to drop her off? She lights up a cigarette. I said, there's no smoking on the property. So we had to move the car out to the side driveway. She went on the sidewalk. She did. She said, it's the last one, and I believe it probably was the last. And so this last, was it in 23 in the summer when we went down? She graduated from the program. Let me tell you, the director's wife, the director just recently passed back in the summer, his wife was there, and she said, I'll never forget the first night I walked into chapel, and I saw this young woman sitting in the back corner with a beanie cap over her head, never looking up. And I tried, said, Lord, how am I going to reach this young woman? So she said, young lady, where are you from? She says, I'm from here. She said, I've been there. This lady had been here as part of a choir from North Point, which was then Zion.
Zion Corlears.
She was here in the 70s, I think. She said, so from that moment on, Jessica became Miss Caribou tonight, and that's what she probably still calls her. But Jessica graduated, and to see the change
Amen.
Jesus made in her life,
Hallelujah.
She has a problem in her right eye, and I'm going to present it to you, and I can't give you all the medical stuff about it, but it sounds like there is a cluster of blood vessels that are doing some damage to the retina, and she really doesn't have a lot of vision. Her left eye is not really blue either, but she has a job at Subway, and she said, but my memory is still good, and I'm wondering, what, that was random. She said, because I can't see the sign of what the sandwiches have on them, I memorize them. And so she's, as of this past week, she's going to be up for an assistant manager position. She is just going forward.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
We look at people Amen. And say, oh my word, I don't know that God can ever reach them. But that's why he's God and we're not.
Amen.
God can do anything, and I'm so thankful.
Amen. The other half of that story is Kevin, and Kevin has graduated from his program at Adult and Teen Challenge in Winthrop and has been working a job and doing well. So we're just grateful for that. Want to keep Cody in our prayers. Cody is currently down at Teen Challenge. And you may be thinking, well, why do we have to go there? Well, that's not necessary. But what that does is it puts them into a safe environment where they can experience 24/7 accountability, where they are radically discipled to follow Jesus. They're led in prayer and study of the Word. And all of the dangers are removed and kept at bay. Amen. And they do that so that they can get the strength that they need to tackle that demon head on. Amen. So God is faithful. He's a good God. And testimony after testimony lets us know that Jesus Christ can break the chains of any slavery that sin brings to us. And we're just grateful for that. There's a couple of folks sitting here today that could testify about that. Hey, John, amen. God set him free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I have something on my heart that I want to share with you this morning. And I want to give you a little introduction to this. The title is The Secret of Rapid Repentance. The title for this message is The Destination Where I'm Heading To. Okay, I'm not starting there. It's my end point. Okay, so like using Google Maps, when you try to look up something, you need a destination to put in there and you need a starting point. Okay, so our starting point is going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Give you a chance to get there. And gives me a chance to get my glasses. Glad I only have two pockets in my sweater. Sometimes I wear a vest that has pockets and then a jacket that has four pockets on the outside, pockets on the inside, and a pocket up here, and it drives me crazy because I'm looking for keys, I'm looking for glasses, looking for my cell phone. So the way to get out of that confusion is limit the pockets you have. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. This brief passage is a warning to the believers at Corinth that can be summed up in four words. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Bob Sorge, in page 19 of his book, The Secrets of the Secret Place, that has so thoroughly blessed me in this last month, explains it this way. Taking heed to oneself is a primary function of the secret place. Prayer is the calibration of the soul. What does it mean to calibrate something? To calibrate the readings of a measuring instrument, you use a standard in order to check the instrument's accuracy, to make sure that the accuracy of the instrument can be trusted. I can remember being at my grandfather's store, Chester's Market, 510 Oliver Street, North Tonawanda, New York, and watching Grandpa and his sidekick, Stanley, cutting meat, cheese, measuring it out on two scales that were there, and then wrapping it up and giving it out to the customers that were there. Well, in behind that meat counter, Grandpa had a little cabinet that was locked. And in that cabinet were two standard weights. One was a 1 pound weight and one was a 5 pound weight. Every once in a while, Grandpa, in Polish we called him Jaji would take the 1 pound weight out, set it on the scale, and if the scale didn't read 1 pound, 16 ounces exactly, he knew it had to be recalibrated because that 1 pound weight always weighed 16 ounces. It never changed. And then he would take out a 5 pound weight to make sure that as it got a little bit heavier, it would still be calibrated, and he'd put the 5 pound weight on the scale, and it would say 5 pounds. And when it did that, he knew that his scales were accurate. If they weren't accurate, there was a little rolling lever on the back of the scale that he could adjust it till it said the same thing that the standard weight did. Amen? So the human heart and the human soul needs times of calibration where we are compared to a standard measure and see just how we measure up or fall short. Prayer is really the time that does that. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul was really telling us, as he said, take heed to yourselves, he was telling us that our hearts are in need of regular calibration. And you may ask the question, well, why is that? Our hearts cannot be trusted to always give the same reading. Listen to Jeremiah, the prophet, in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That two-verse passage tells us three things about the human heart. Number one, it says it is deceitful. The Hebrew word that is used there is akab, and it could be translated swelled up and deceitful. And that's quite a vivid description of the human heart, swelled up and deceitful. In other words, my heart, because it's swelled up and deceitful, cannot be trusted. I can't trust it. It can deceive me. It's deceitful. Secondly, it says it's desperately wicked. Two English words, desperately wicked, come from one Hebrew word, anash. And we see something that's stronger than sin. It's that word wickedness. It describes attitudes or behaviors that ruin your soul. The soul is your will, your emotions, and your mind. There are things that ruin the human soul. The scripture says our heart is desperately wicked. It has been ruined and broken to pieces. The concept of wickedness lies in contrast to the concept of holiness. Wickedness carries the concept of being broken into pieces and ruined. Holiness actually suggests wholeness and completeness and well-being. My heart is desperately wicked. It can't be trusted. And then number three from that two-verse passage, it tells us the human heart has hidden reins. Now, I want you to hold on to that for a couple minutes because we're going to go back there, all right? The place of spiritual calibration. God designed spiritual calibration to take place in the secret place. When we are shut in with God, alone with Him, the world's gaze is kept out. We are in privacy where God can talk to us person to person. We can talk to Him face to face, and nobody else is going to hear or know what is going on. In the secret place, remember Matthew 6:6 from a couple weeks ago told us that God is in the secret place. So when we go to the secret place and we shut the door, closing everything out, shutting ourselves in with God, we enter into Father's presence. And when we enter into Father's presence, it has a way of exposing our sinfulness. Ooh. Maybe that's one reason why some people don't really like to establish a prayer time in the secret place. They don't want the light of God to shine into their heart and expose the wickedness and the sin that is there. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And Ruth, would you help me with this? I didn't give you this ahead of time. I'm sorry for that. But Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and this doesn't really matter what version you're reading from. The prophet Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 6. Yes, ma'am.
King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar.
What a beautiful picture we see here. Isaiah the prophet in the presence of God, and the angels are worshiping God and crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. That's a good testimony and a good word to describe who God is. As a matter of fact, if we were to pick one word to describe God, holy would be the best word. God is a holy God. Now here's the prophet in the presence of these angels who are worshiping a holy God. And what is the perspective of the prophet? I'm unclean. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the people, in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He needed cleansing. When we get into the holy presence of God, it has a way of turning the bright light on to what we really are. And in his presence, we kind of cower just a little bit because we see We need cleansing. Listen, if you don't get into the presence of a holy God on a regular basis, you will never have access to the deep inner cleansing that our soul needs to be calibrated. I need that time on a regular basis in the presence of God. Because if I don't, then my deceitful heart is going to be given an opportunity to lead me down a path that I shouldn't be going on. And it can lead me through its deception into thinking that I'm all right not praying, I'm all right not getting into the Bible, I'm all right not getting into church for fellowship, I'm all right doing this thing that the Word of God says is wrong. But in the presence of God, all of that is exposed. And then in the presence of God, the prophet Isaiah received a deep inner cleansing that prepared him to go out and serve the Lord, preaching the word that God gave him. So you see, in his presence, amen, he exposes our sinfulness. We see this in the New Testament as well, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. When Peter saw the glory of God revealed through the miraculous catch of fish. You remember the story. They had been fishing. They didn't catch anything. Jesus told them where to cast the nets. They did it. And they caught in, they brought in a huge amount of fish. And in that, Peter saw a miracle worked by Jesus. And that miracle by Jesus exposed him to the glory of God. And listen to what he said in response to it. Depart from me, because I'm a sinner. The glory of God in the miracle exposed his sinfulness. Amen? So you see, friends, we need, in both the Old Testament and New Testament, we need to be exposed to time in the presence of God so that he can deal with our wicked, deceitful heart and give us a deep inner cleansing. Private or public exposure to the presence of God will help keep our human hearts calibrated. Can you say amen to that? It keeps us in check. It checks us from wandering. It checks us from error. It checks us from deception. And brings us in line with the standard, which is holy God. Are you with me on that? So the place of spiritual calibration is the secret place where we get alone with God. The purpose of spiritual calibration is important. You see, God not only wants to cleanse us from the actions of sin, but from the attitudes and motives of sin that lead us in that direction in the first place. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 21 and 22. And then stay there, because we're going to look at two more verses in that chapter. You have heard that it was said to those of old, he's talking about Old Testament times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So what do we learn from this? The Old Testament focus was on the external actions. And in the New Testament, Jesus is not excusing those external actions. He's not saying they're all right or ignoring their sinfulness, but he's telling us and demonstrating that he wants to take it deeper than just the external. He wants to reach into our heart and change us deep down in our hearts. Ooh. Now let's look at verses 27 and 28 of Matthew 5. You have heard it said to those of old in the Old Testament times, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Ooh. Adultery is wrong. We know that. But now Jesus is saying, what's going on in your heart that leads you to adultery is also wrong. Wow. Excuse me, I just need to cough. Get a little drink. Do you see what Jesus is doing in the New Testament? He's helping us to understand that grace takes things further than the law ever could. All the law could ever do was address the outward things, the sinful action. But grace now wants to reach down deep, deep inside of us and do something deep in our hearts. Jesus is trying to help us understand that God does not just want to deal with surface issues in our lives, but he wants to deal with the inner attitudes that cause sinful actions. And he wants us to experience a deep, deep inner cleansing. Why is this? Well, I think it's really quite simple if you think about it. If our hearts are cleansed with a deep inner cleansing, that what comes out of the heart is going to be clean. Amen? If the heart's never cleansed, then it keeps spewing out dirt and uncleanliness. But when the heart gets cleansed, a deep inner cleansing, amen, clean things come out. Amen? And that's what God wants for all of us. So you know what I mean when I say a deep cleansing. Sometimes if we clean our carpets, we may just get a surface cleaning. But every once in a while, every couple of years, if there's a lot of traffic in our carpets, we need a deep inner cleansing that gets the dirt off the surface way down deep, down into the bottom where it's kind of been hanging so nobody can see it. God wants his people to have a spiritual calibration and a deep inner cleansing. Now, the process of spiritual calibration is next. Let's go to the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, where I told you to hold on, in verse 10 from the King James. Here's what God says about the human heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. You and I cannot know what's really in our hearts. We don't know. As a matter of fact, you don't know the potential that is in your heart for wickedness. If you could understand that, let me tell you what I think your response would be. You would be absolutely floored. Because it's there. That potential is there in all of us, in my heart as well. But God searches the heart to get down to what's really in there. He's the only one that can do it. And then he goes on to say, I try the reins. The reins. You mean I have reins in my heart? I refer to them as the hidden reins of the heart. I think Jeremiah is the only prophet that exposes hidden reins of the heart. Jeremiah 11, verse 20, but O Lord of hosts, thou judgest righteously, thou triest the reins and the heart. Jeremiah 12, 2, thou are near in their, they are near in their mouth, but far from you in their reins. Wow. Did you hear what God was saying? They're near in their mouth. They honor you and are close to you in what they say, but in their heart, in the reins, they're far from you. Jeremiah 20, verse 12, but O Lord of hosts, that tries the righteous and seest the reins and the heart. Well, have you ever considered what reins do? What do the reins of the heart do? Well, let me ask you this question. What do reins on a horse do? They give the rider a means to control the horse's direction and movement. Amen? You know how it works. You get on that horse, you got the reins, and you loosen up the reins, and you give a little flap and giddy up with your feet, and the horse starts moving. And then when you want the horse to stop, what do? You pull back lightly on the reins and say, whoa, and hope it works. And if you want them to go a little bit to the left, you turn a little bit to the left with the reins, turn a little bit to the right, and they follow you. That's the only way that you and I, as puny as we are in comparison to a horse, could ever direct a horse. So what do the hidden reins of the heart do? They expose the movement and direction that comes from our hearts that leads us to sin. Let me explain this by giving an illustration from what goes on in my office when I'm putting together sermons. I type all of my messages, Bible studies, on my computer using Google Documents. When I first open Google Documents, every time I do this, I have to go to the bar at the top and change the font size, because the default font size is 11, and that's too small for me to see. So when I'm up here, I need it a 14 font, so I change that. Every time I close the computer and open it up, the font size is at 11, so I have to change it every time. Why? Because the default font size is 11. Without any input from me, that computer will always open up with an 11 size font. That's the default. When I go to search for information on the computer, my default search engine is Google. Now, I can use other search engines, but I have to go in and change them on my computer because the default search engine is Google. It always comes up. So apart from any other action from me, the font is always 11 and the search engine is always Google. Did you get that? You understanding that? That's really kind of a simple concept. When we spend time with Father in the secret place, He will search the hidden reins of our heart to expose what our default setting is. How can we know our default setting? I want you to listen very carefully to this. It is seen by the first choice that our heart makes without any outside input. Why did I do that? Your default was set without input from you. You went in that direction. What made me go there? The default, the hidden reins of your heart determined that. You see, if we never deal with the hidden reins of the heart, we will always operate with the default settings. The heart's got to be changed. Wow. When our heart reins are exposed, be quick to agree with what God is telling you. Don't argue with His call. This is called confession. When we confess our sins, what we are really doing is we are coming into agreement with what God says about our sins instead of what we say. You see, because we always have a way of minimizing our sinfulness. God tells us the clear shot. Amen? He calls it clear. We need to agree with the sin that He calls. And if we're going to argue about anything, we ought to argue about our own wickedness, not what God's telling us about our wickedness. Can you say amen or ouch? It's all right to do that this morning. Be quick to come to agreement with God and be quick to repent when He draws the line and shows you where you are, and seek cleansing. You see, you thought I was going to lose my place and never get to where I was going, didn't you? But we're moving that direction real quick. This is what rapid repentance is. When you are in the presence of God and in the secret place, God opens the light to you, turns on the searchlight, and all of a sudden you see yourself in comparison with his presence in a whole new way, and you understand there's sin in your heart and wickedness and iniquity that needs to be cleansed out, and you fall on God and say, God, forgive me, cleanse me of that. And we do that quickly. Amen. Not arguing with God, but developing the habit of being quick to repent when God calls us in line and questions our behaviors. Hello? It's important for us to understand this. You see, you thought I lost my place and I'd never get to my title. It just took me a little while to get there. We're close to our destination. You see, this message is not a message about repenting of action sins like lying, stealing, fornication, cursing, use of pornography, hatred, drunkenness, or not paying your tithes. Bob Sorge says this about those sins on page 20 of his book. Those sins are so obvious, you don't even need the conviction of the Holy Spirit to know that you're in disobedience, because God's word regarding them is so blatantly clear. The word of God calls some sins out in black and white. It's just that simple. We don't have to argue about those. But you see, this is a message about repenting from our iniquities, the deep hidden faults in our lives that nobody can see, the wicked residue of our fallen nature that discolors the fabrics of our thoughts, motives, feelings, responses, and desires. We're talking about checking and calibrating the subtle and sinister things like pride, rebellion, unbelief, and selfish ambition that only God can help us see clearly. And when we see those things in the light of God's presence, agree with his call on it, and fall on our face before God asking for mercy and cleansing. Hallelujah. As you are in the secret place of prayer, meditating on his word, let me tell you some things you can expect, and this is the caboose. God will use the fire of adverse circumstances mixed with the fiery gaze of his word to reveal your hidden faults so that you could see yourself in a whole new light. And your reaction may be, wow, I didn't know that's what it looked like in there. Number two, the moment that this happens, you are standing at the threshold of a wonderful opportunity. That is the time to embrace rapid repentance and agree with God and ask his forgiveness and ask his cleansing and get that taken out of your heart. You see, rapid repentance, when we respond quickly to God's dealings, rapid repentance will turn you from the things that have hindered your love relationship with Jesus, that have made you grow cold in your relationship. Rapid repentance will release a strong, almost tangible sense of God's pleasure with you. In the secret place, you'll suddenly feel God's delight with you. Now, listen to me. We all know what it's like to feel the frown of God, huh? When we hope he just doesn't reach in his back pocket and grab a lightning bolt and throw it in our direction. We know that feeling. But what he really wants us to live in is not that feeling, but the feeling of, I'm so glad to see you. Come close. I want to give you a big hug. He loves to be in the presence of his people and of his children. It's kind of like us when we see our grandkids. First thing, we get down there to that little house on Jeweled Hand Circle, and that door pops open. I look for Brooklyn or Olivia to come running out. And they never see a upset papa when I first get there, not at all. They see a big smile and arms open wide. Come give me a hug. Come give me a big kiss. God's delight in his children is something that he wants to learn, teach us to live in. Amen. Where we know he loves us. And you see, when you have that kind of relationship, you're never afraid to go into his presence. You actually look forward to it. And that's what God wants to do in all of our hearts and lives. And then I want to take you to one passage of scripture, and the conductor is going to give his last call after this. It's found in 2 Timothy 2, 19 through 21. Second Timothy 2, 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. This passage of scripture is really quite simple to understand. Most of you ladies, I'm sure in your house, you have everyday dishes and special occasion dishes, okay? At the Hood House, the everyday dishes are in the kitchen cupboard on the left-hand side as you face the sink in the window. That's what we eat every day. You see our oatmeal in the morning, our salads, our sandwiches, our baked potatoes. But as you step through the doorway into the dining room part of the house, right there on the right is a china cupboard. It's an old one. And inside of that are friendly village dishes. They're special use dishes. I think if I grabbed one of those for my morning cereal, I would probably hear something from my wife about it. They're for special purposes. And what God is telling us here is that when we get our regular cleansing, we're just like the everyday use dishes. We're clean, but we're for everyday purposes. But when we get the deep inner cleansing in the secret place, God makes us vessels for special occasions, where we can be used and trusted to do something that brings more honor to God than what we're doing. So you see, God's plan for all of us is not to be the everyday dish, but to be the friendly village dish, the special occasion, something that he can trust and go to when there's special things he wants to do, because he knows we've had a deep inner cleansing. That's what God wants. A vessel of honor for God, sanctified holy, that I might be a vessel of honor for God. That's what he wants to make you into. And you see, if we allow this to happen in our hearts, it will make you and me men and women who are after God's own heart. Wouldn't that be a great thing if God looked at Caribou Assembly of God and said, that's a congregation of people who are after my own heart? It would be awesome. It would be awesome. And I dare say what we experienced this morning would be a regular occurrence, and it would even go beyond that and blow our hearts and minds apart with what God wants to do. Would you bow in a word of prayer with me? As I was getting ready for this, I felt like that there were going to be some who were here that God is really singling you out, not publicly through me, but as you sit there in the privacy of your seat, you know what's going on in your heart. And God is saying, this message is for you. I want to give you a deep inner cleansing that will cleanse the reins, changing them forever, so that your default setting is changed and you'll never, never go back to it. Are you willing to respond to his presence this morning and say, Lord, I agree with what you're saying, and find a place to just get alone with God for a moment and ask his forgiveness and open yourself up for his cleansing? If you feel like God's talking to you, I want to invite you to come and find a place around this altar. Amen. And if you're just open for this to happen to you anytime, you want God to do a deep inner work, come and let's spend a couple of minutes. Dinner will wait for us. If we go now, it's still not going to be ready. You know, we get over there, it's still 15 minutes before they get it ready. So we've got time. We have plenty of time to just spend right here in his presence. Honey, come. Go ahead, sing that song.
Bring all your needs to the altar. Bring all your needs to the Lord. He is so willing and bring all your needs to the Lord.
Just bring
all your needs to the altar. Bring all your needs to the Lord.
You're sitting there thinking, if I go forward, people are going to think that there's some big sin going on in my life.
And able,
who cares?
To help you.
You see, the scripture tells us this, that the things which are done in secret and hidden will one day be shouted from the rooftops. Would you rather have somebody just think it or hear it shouted from the rooftop? This is what's going on in their life. But can I tell you something about that rooftop stuff? If you bring those things to God and find his forgiveness, they are forever gone. They're in the sea of his forgetfulness. They'll never make it to the rooftop. It's been taken care of. It's settled. It's gone. And from that day on, something different is going to change and take place in your heart. Instead of triggering that old habit, that old direction, that old sinful way and pattern, God's going to trigger you to a new direction, to surrender, to obedience, to doing what's right. Amen. Settle it here and now at this altar. No one's going to talk about you. They're just going to pray for you and extend grace. So we'll wait for a few moments longer to give you a chance to come if you'd like to. Get it settled here in prayer. Hallelujah.
He is so willing and able to help you. Bring all
the Lord, amen. A vessel of honor for God.